All right, we're ready for chapter 2 of Philippians.
Yes, indeed. It's Paul's discussing of living the Christian life. He highlights themes such as joy and glory. He puts great emphasis on how a Christian's thinking, their attitude, affects the way they live out their faith. And again, he emphasizes his thankfulness for their support.
He's constantly working in this sense of, hey guys, let's get united together. Mm. Let's do this. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, it's one of the great appeals. It's like I said, Paul is not coming with the heavy hand, but he's coming appealing to them. I want you to listen, and I want you to imagine, I want you to think of someone who's been a big influence in your life. Maybe the person who led you to the Lord.
Mm.
You know, maybe a father in the faith, a mentor to you, or you, maybe just your pastor, someone who you respect and look up to. And if they came to you and they said this, they said, listen, if there's any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection, any compassion, in other words, listen, if there's anything that can move your heart, anything you can do, I want you to make my joy complete. I really, guys, if you've got any feeling for me, if you've got any respect for me, if you've got any love for me, can you do something that will just make my joy overflow? What is it? What is it? What is it, Paul? What is it, Pastor? What is it to, my son, to me, it's my Sunday school teacher.
Gave me the John
3:16 message.
When I was
8 years of age. And Trevor Jones, honor to that man. If he came to me and said, oh, there's something that would just make me really joyful. Well, what is it?
What can I do?
And he said, I want you and the church you're in to be of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. In other words, I want you guys to get in unity and I want you to have one focus, which is to get the gospel
and
the news of Jesus out.
And the great thing about it was he didn't use himself as an example. Of course, he goes to the ultimate example in Jesus. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. So he uses Jesus as the example.
The ultimate example for us. And as David reads through chapter 2, I want you to listen to this example, an amazing example of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he shares a little bit, then he says, I sent Timothy. Timothy, he said, Timothy is a good guy. Everyone else was seeking their own interests, but not Timothy. Timothy is a good guy. Mm. He says, I want to tell you, about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus almost died trying to get this work done.
He
just example after example of people who put their own interests aside in order to focus on others and get their best and get the gospel working through them.
Yes.
So listen to this and just let it stir your heart. Hey, this is not about you. You know, we often say this is all about you.
It's actually
about you not being you. It's about you getting in agreement and unity with others so that Jesus can be exalted
Amen.
And his good news can reach the world.
Amen. Here Thanks. We go. If then any encouragement comes through union with Christ, if there is any persuasive power in love, if there is any communion with the Spirit, if there's any tenderness or pity, I entreat you to make my happiness complete. Live together, animated by the same Spirit and in mutual love, one in heart, animated by one Spirit. Nothing should be done in a factious spirit or from vanity, but each of you should with all humility regard others as of more account than himself. And one and all should consider not only their own interests, but also the interests of others. Let the Spirit of Christ Jesus be yours also. Though the divine nature was his from the beginning, yet he did not look upon equality with God as above all things to be clung to, but impoverished himself by taking the nature of a servant and becoming like men. He appeared among us as a man, and still further humbled himself by submitting even to death on a cross. And that is why God raised him to the very highest place, and gave him the name which stands above all other names, so that in adoration of the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always been obedient in the past, So now, work out your own salvation with anxious care, not only when I am with you, but all the more now that I am absent. Remember, it is God who, in his kindness, is at work within you, enabling you both to will and to work. In all that you do, avoid murmuring and dissension, so as to prove yourself blameless and innocent, faultless children of God, in the midst of an evil-disposed and perverse generation, in which you are seen shining like stars in a dark world, offering to men the message of life. And then I shall be able, at the day of Christ, to boast that I did not run my course for nothing or toil for nothing. And yet, even if, when your faith is offered as a sacrifice to God, my lifeblood must be poured out in addition, still I shall rejoice and share the joy of you all. And do you also rejoice and share my joy? I hope, however, as one who trusts in the Lord Jesus, to send Timothy to you before long, so that I may myself be cheered by receiving news of you. For I have no one but him to send, no one of kindred spirit, who would take the same genuine interest in your welfare. They are all pursuing their own aims, and not those of Christ Jesus. But you know what Timothy has proved himself to be, and how, like a child working for his father, he worked hard with me in spreading the good news. It is Timothy, then, whom I hope to send, as soon as I ever can foresee how it will go with me. And I am confident, as one who trusts in the Lord Jesus, that before long I myself shall follow. Still, I think it necessary to send Epaphroditus to you now, for he is my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and he was also your messenger to help me in my need. For he has been longing to see you all, and has been distressed because you heard of his illness. And I can assure you that his illness very nearly proved fatal. But God had pity on him, and not on him only, but also on me, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. I am all the more ready, therefore, to send him, so that the sight of him may revive your spirits, and my own sorrow be lightened. Give him, then, the heartiest of Christian welcomes, and hold such men in great honour, for it was owing to his devotion to the Master's work that he was at the point of death, having risked his own life in the effort to supply what was wanting in the help that you sent me.